Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth
has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples
of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them
to obey everything I have commanded you.
And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age."
Welcome to Exploring Missions, connecting mission needs with those equipped by God to meet those needs across the world or across town. And now, the host of Exploring Missions, Bert Harper.
One of the greatest things we can do on Exploring Missions is revisit someone that we've interviewed before. And I love to follow up to see what God has done and is doing. So this will be the program where we are able to find out what God has done in the life of Maddie Jasper in the last few months. If you know that name, her dad is J.J. Jasper. He is a morning host on AFR, the music side, and we appreciate him so much. But what's better than J.J. on the radio is J.J. as a dad. He loves his family and his girls and his son as well. Maddie Jasper is with us. Maddie, thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
And it's a joy to have you. Okay, you're home, we'll call it furlough for a month.
Right.
And it's Christmas time. So those of you that are listening, you'll hear this after Christmas. But Maddie got to come in for Christmas, and we're so excited. And I can just tell you, your mom and dad were excited about you being able to come as well.
Absolutely. They keep saying it feels like a Hallmark movie, which is so sweet of them. It feels like that to me, too.
And I bet your siblings was glad to see you as well.
Yes, it's been so sweet getting to be with them.
I know that. Well, we want to go over, we have people who have heard your story, but we have people listening that did not hear the first time you were on. And where are you serving?
I'm serving in Kajabi, Kenya.
Is that close to Nairobi?
It is. It is only about an hour or two from Nairobi.
And what are you doing there?
I'm teaching at Rift Valley Academy. I teach sixth grade, and I am serving there and getting to do some other outreach opportunities as well. But that's my main capacity that I'm serving in is teaching at Rift Valley Academy.
With that in mind, tell us how that came about.
Sure.
I know you were ready for missions, but how did it come about that this was the location?
Absolutely. So I actually wasn't planning on going anywhere near Africa originally. I just thought that I would end up in a Spanish-speaking country because I had a little bit of a Spanish background, and I was going to go the journeyman route, which journeyman is a two-year program. And I was actually already through that application process when the Lord showed me clearly through his word, through other people and through circumstances, this little school in Kajabi, Kenya, Rift Valley Academy. And the first time I heard about it, I kind of dismissed it thinking, oh, I already kind of know the route that I'm going. And then after about a dozen times that it came up, I said, okay, Lord, I think you're sending me here. I think it's clear.
You did inherit some of your dad's stubbornness. Huh?
I think you're right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So I really started praying specifically about what that would look like. And from then I say it's kind of like a Gideon story because I only had about 2 months before I was planning on leaving. And they said that the process that I needed to go through to get on the field sometimes took up to 2 years to change because I was completely changing directions with a different mission agency and everything else. And so from within those 2 months, the Lord just provided the way for me to be able to be there by the first day of school. So he just provided the funds and all the different documents that I had to get and everything else that kind of all the logistics of moving overseas and switching agencies.
And when that happens, when it's difficult and it comes about, mm-hmm. it kind of affirms, hey, God, you're in it.
Absolutely.
I mean, I've noticed that on other occasions in my own life as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is the time frame. I'm not sure we can get it all done.
Mm-hmm.
But God, he can work on that time frame, can he?
Absolutely. And he's even continuing to affirm it because one of my first weeks at Rift Valley, there was a staff meeting and they were talking about how the previous school year, they had become so short staffed that they didn't even know how they would continue running the school with that few of numbers of staff members. So they got on their knees as a school and they just prayed that the Lord would just shift people's direction, turn them towards RVA.
So prayers were going up on both sides.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
So I have heard so many people who are new staff there. I've heard so many stories where they have the same exact timeline of, I was going somewhere totally different, and then the Lord just pointed me towards RVA. So that's so affirming and also so neat to just see how the Lord's hand was so clearly in it.
And so you have been there how many months now?
I have been there only 4 months now.
4 months, mm-hmm. And you're getting to come home now.
Exactly,
and,
yes.
Well, that helps, especially the first time and not having to wait 2 or 3 years. But
right.
Does that make you appreciate the missionaries years and years and years ago that when they went, had no idea if they'd even come back to their family? Does it? Man, that strikes a note, doesn't it, Maddie?
That is absolutely what it does. I realize what a privilege it is to be able to come home for Christmas, and I have a sister having a baby and just getting to be with family this month. I've realized what a blessing from the Lord that is, and I think about that all the time, not only with getting to come home, but also just getting to communicate through FaceTime and things like that. I get to see my family's face pretty much every day, and I really cannot imagine how difficult that must have been to say goodbye, not even knowing that you'd probably never see your family again.
Nathan and I've talked several times about the missionaries in those years. Mm-hmm. They packed their belongings in a casket knowing that that's the way they would be shipped back home.
Wow.
So, you know, we talk about the modern convenience, the internet, how bad, or this, how bad, but it's also how good, isn't it?
Amen.
So, well, tell us, what has been the most, I'm going to go with the enjoyable, the most difficult, and the most surprising. So we'll try to keep that in order.
Okay.
So let's go with what's been the biggest enjoyment of what you've done.
Right. I would say the biggest enjoyment has just been the relationships that I've built. I feel like from the very first day that I got to Rift Valley, I had already made family almost. And it's an interesting bond that you form with people so shortly, especially with there being so many missionaries where I'm living, because they're also not around their family. And so it's this unique relationship of, we don't have any of our immediate family around, and so we are each other's family. And so with that, and then also with the students at Rift Valley Academy, and also just the nationals, the other Kenyans, it has been so sweet forming these relationships, even over the last 4 months, that feel like they're going to be lifelong relationships and friendships.
Yeah, when I hear that, that's true in a local church too.
Amen.
The relationships you have there, it's so important. Well, tell us about the most surprising area. I know it's Kenya is known for the African animals.
Right.
Have you had any encounters anyway? Go ahead with your surprise.
I have had encounters with animals. One of the, probably the scariest was, I was camping one of my first weekends there, and I was in a hammock, and hyenas came into our camp, and that hammock felt much thinner than it did when I started out in it, whenever I saw those hyenas. And so people asked me if I've seen all the giraffes and the hyenas, and I kind of thought that would be not necessarily a stereotype, but something that you would mainly see when you go into game drives and things like that. But you really do see them more often than you think. I mean, I saw, even driving to the airport heading back here to the States, I saw hyenas on the side of the road. Yeah. So yeah, the giraffes, and then the monkeys are the things that I see the most of.
Do they make themselves at home wherever they are?
Absolutely. Especially if there's food around. So I see probably 30 to 50 monkeys every single day. And they're always trying to steal your snack or they come into your house and they'll rummage through your cabinets and everything. The monkeys will 100% make themselves at home. So that's been surprising.
When our son and grandson went to Kenya for a real short-term mission trip, the biggest thing, he wanted to see the animals. And he said, there's nothing like seeing a giraffe that's not behind a fence.
Exactly.
But being just out there. And there's some amazing things. God's awesome in his creation, isn't he,
Maddie? Really, really is.
Every time I see an animal like that, I'm just amazed. I said, God, you are the great designer.
Mm.
And he really is. Okay, I want to go from the enjoyable surprise, difficulty.
I would say the most difficult part is an obvious one, probably just being away from my family and friends. And that's been true even more so than the modern conveniences, like not having air conditioning. That's something that really is just a petty convenience to miss. But then not having your family there, even you know, you're sick and you just are used to having your mom around.
Yeah, being sick by yourself is tough, isn't
right,
it?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I know.
And so those kind of things is when are when you miss your family the most. But the Lord has been so faithful, and I really have, it feels like it's been a seamless transition, as seamless as it could be for somebody, for me to just be moving overseas by myself. And at a young age, it really, the Lord has been so faithful, again, to just provide relationships for me that feel like family, and also just there every step of the way, and all of the logistics of things, and just really giving me a joy over there. So I kind of have been surprised at how easy the transition has been, and I just credit that all to the Lord's faithfulness.
Yeah. Well, are you learning a language there? What is the language?
Swahili.
Swahili.
Mm-hmm.
How's that? Are you learning
that sir.
Language? Okay.
Ndio.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, tell us a little bit how you're doing there.
And sure.
There's two words that I've been asked to ask you what they are.
Okay.
But go ahead and tell us your story first.
Yes, sir. So I'm learning Swahili, and I have a friend of mine who is actually, she works on campus. She's the sweetest lady. Her name's Njoki, and she has been helping me learn Swahili. And then I also have an official teacher, Edward, and I meet with him 1 hour a week. And I thought an hour would not be enough time to learn a language, but really after that 1 hour class, I'm practicing all week long on what we got into that 1 hour time frame. So it's been going really well.
Okay. The two words that they said is interesting is tomato and grandmother. Now, I have no idea, but a little bird, you can figure out what bird.
I can only imagine.
It's not a blue jay, but a JJ.
A JJ.
Yeah.
Yes. Nya Nya is both tomato and grandmother.
Same word?
So it is. And so I asked them, well, what happens if I'm at the market and ask him for my grandmother or a tomato? How will they know? And they just laughed and said, context will tell you if somebody's
what's
talking about
it. What's that word now?
Nya Nya.
Okay. Wow.
For tomato or grandmother.
So you don't want to put mayonnaise on your tomato
your
sandwich. You want to be careful with that, don't you?
Exactly. Yes,
okay.
sir.
Another thing I heard was, mm-hmm. I know you're teaching a certain group,
mm-hmm.
but are you getting to know other age groups at the school?
Yes. So actually, I was teaching just sixth grade, and then kind of unexpectedly, the science teacher of the school had to go back to his country, Mozambique, or where he had been living, because there was some warring there, and his land, his farm was being threatened. He was risk of losing his land. So he went back to try to save his land, and they needed a science teacher. And the one subject I did not concentrate in with my elementary education degree is science. And I also went planning to teach sixth grade. And they said, we need a first, second, third, fourth, fifth grade science teacher. So for the last half of the term, I have been teaching first, second, third, fourth, and fifth grade science, as well as my sixth grade classes. So I've gotten to meet all of the elementary students, which has been honestly a blast.
Okay. Are you having to burn the midnight oil getting ready for those science classes?
Sometimes, yes, absolutely. But it's paid off in getting to meet all those kids.
It may be like a Sunday school teacher or a pastor. We learn more by preparing for what we're going to do.
Absolutely.
And so we learn a lot that way as well.
Absolutely. I've learned a lot of science.
Yeah. Well, how about the high school students? You gotten to know any of them? Is it 1 through 12 like
yes, sir.
America, or is there a different way of
yes, sir.
Grading them?
It's kindergarten through 12th grade.
Okay.
And so that has been I didn't think I would get to meet as many and have relationships with as many high school students as I've gotten to. But there's been a lot of opportunities just for discipleship and getting to do Bible studies with some of the girls and just meeting up with the students. They heard, I told my family, they heard my Southern drawl, and some of the high school students asked me to make them fried chicken. And so I had them over to the house and made them some fried chicken.
Well, your Southern drawl is not as bad as a lot of Southern drawls we know around here.
I thought so as well, but you would be surprised at how country they think I sound.
Oh, me. Listen, I know that look and those thoughts as well. And I hear you're coaching basketball, of all things.
And coaching basketball, which if anyone knows me personally, they know how comical this is, because I don't know the first thing about basketball, but the season is now over.
Okay.
And so, but I got to coach basketball this term, which was funny and enjoyable at times as well, but I had to do a lot of research on what the sport even was, what the rules of the sport were.
Okay. in your background, I know weights were part of what you're doing.
Gymnastics,
but not basketball.
All sports without a basketball.
Wow. And how did the team do?
They did pretty well. We won our very last game, so it was quite the underdog story.
Well, I'm proud y'all made it that way.
Thank you.
As you look at that and your story, you're looking forward to going back.
Mm-hmm.
Will you be teaching science, or do you get over there? Is it going to be like it was the first 4 months? Okay, Lord, here
right.
I've come.
Right.
I didn't prepare to teach science, but I'm teaching science.
Right.
I wasn't prepared to coach basketball, but I'm coaching basketball. What do you think the next 4 months looks like?
Well, actually, I'm having another switch in roles because the first little bit I was teaching two separate sixth grade classes, and I was just teaching a couple of the subjects. And now one of the sixth grade teachers has become the principal. So now I'll be teaching both sixth grade classes combined and teaching all subjects. And then I will no longer be teaching science. So I think it's going to be just as busy, but in a different way.
You got to be versatile when you go.
That is absolutely right.
Do you have any stories that you could tell about maybe it's some of your work associates or students? Let us in on a little bit of what it's like.
Sure, absolutely. I mentioned briefly in Jokey, a sweet Kenyan lady who, when I first met her, she said she had always wanted to be a teacher. And I said, well, you can be my teacher. And she also said she wanted to be a missionary. And I said, she's one of the best missionaries that I know in the way that she cares for the missionaries and the missionaries' children. And so the Lord just laid it on my heart that I wanted to just continue this relationship with her. So we met every single day. We would just talk over tea, or just while we were working, we would just get to visit and pray together and love on each other. Well, I really wanted to bless her in some way financially because I knew how much her and her family struggled just by what other people had mentioned. But I just, every time I went to even $50 or a $20 bill would be life-changing for Njoki and her family. And every time I went to go do that, I felt like the Lord was just telling me just to wait. And I'll make a very long story as short as possible, but one day I was going to pay my monthly dues at the school, and I felt so clearly the Lord saying, this is how much I wanted you to give to Njoki. And it was just a clear conviction of him, from him, and I knew that that's what I was meant to do. So I found a way to send it to her phone, and to her, a little cheap Kenyan phone she had. And there were some really some neat things that happened from the time that I sent that and the time that she realized how she had gotten it. Cause at first she was a little bit confused about how she had gotten that. And she prayed that the Lord would show her clearly. And really, again, to make a long story short, there's some interesting things that happened in between there. But as she was telling me this story, she said when she received the money, she said, Lord, how do you want me to use that? And that struck me because she could use it just for food. And she walks into work an hour. She walks an hour every day, and she's probably 50 or 60 years old, if not older. And so I thought you could use it to rent a taxi in, or you can get a cheap little motorbike and just hop on the back and ride those into work. But she didn't use it for that. She didn't use it for food. Right off the bat, she said, Lord, how do you want me to use this money? And so she walked into work that day. Again, she could have found a ride, but she walked into work that day, and she passed the hospital. There's a hospital not far from where we live. Passed the hospital on the way and saw a man outside the hospital who was missing a leg. And the thing about the hospital system there is sometimes they won't even let you inside the doors if you don't have the money for it. So he was missing a leg, and he was shaking violently from the pain and from the infection because he hadn't even had this treated yet. It wasn't like an amputation that had been treated before. He was in a pretty dire spot. So she gave him the money to be able to get him inside, took care of him, and then had to go back to work. She came back, checked on him again, gave the man her number and said, if you need anything, please just call me. And then the doctors, as she was leaving, said that they would not be able to keep him there. They didn't have the means to be able to take care of this man. And so knowing that, she then gave the money for him to be transported to another hospital so that they would be able to do a life-saving procedure. And again, she gave him her number and told him to contact if she could do anything. She went back to work, and then again she came back and she saw that his meal was sitting outside his door, and it had gotten cold. It was just some porridge outside his door. And so she found a way to go warm up the porridge and went in to his room, and she was spoon feeding him this porridge as he's still shaking violently from the pain and the infection. And she got to sit there and pray for him and share the gospel with him and really just tell the story of the Bible to him. And he came to know the Lord, this man. It was incredible hearing that. And then she went back again. She had to go home and then go back to work. This is happening over the course of a few days. And she gets a phone call, and it's from the man, the number of the man, and it's a young girl on the phone who's hysterically crying, and she just said, he died, and he did not make it. And she kind of was jarred at first and didn't understand what had happened and why this would happen after, you know, what she had poured into this. And she said, he told us what all you told him, and he told us to contact you. So now his whole family got to hear the gospel and got to see that their father, whoever it was, Amen. Father, uncle, grandfather, that he came to the Lord on his deathbed. Wow. And then got to tell his entire family the story of the gospel, what God had done on his deathbed, just in his last words, got to share that with his family. And then his family was still in contact with Njoki because they wanted to hear more about that story.
Praise God. And timing. Now, see, you said, okay, Lord, I want to know your timing. Had it been earlier or later, she wouldn't have had the money at that point.
Amen.
God's amazing.
He's amazing. And even if she would have not said, Lord, how do you want me to use this? And if she would have, you know, she would have said it was selfish. I would have said it would just be common sense to rent a little motorbike or something into work instead of walking so far. Yeah. But she said, no, I want to listen to the Lord's direction. And she walked into work, even though I've seen her even on the side of the roads at times, like trying to rub a knot out of her back because she's in so much pain. But she was so determined to just listen to the Lord's lead that she wouldn't have passed the hospital if she wouldn't have walked.
That's an amazing story, Maddie.
Incredible, incredible.
Our guest is Maddie Jasper. She's missionary in Kenya. She's sharing some of the things that's happened to her and what she's doing. So there's two more things we want to cover before we end the interview is, and that is support. Tell us about prayer support. What would you say, maybe two or three things people can pray you about? I know you want to get back safely. Mm-hmm. So I know the safety is at least an issue with mom and dad. But how can we pray for you?
Absolutely. Just exactly that, for safety. And then also just for those continued relationships, that I would just be spirit led, because the way that he has done that so far in stories like Njoki has been so incredible to see. I just pray that I would just continue to seek the Lord and hear his and just, you know, let him guide me. And then also that I would just be able to have these relationships with the students and the other nationals there, the other Kenyans, and just have discipleship opportunities and gospel opportunities. That's really the desire of my heart. And so that's what I would pray for. And I just appreciate everybody prayerfully supporting me.
Well, we also want to talk about another support. And I say this in a way, because I know I was talking to JJ earlier and found out way before, and some folks said, we want to help Maddie, and they've contacted him, and I know some people have been able to do that and give above and beyond.
Absolutely.
Quote, do you have any, would it be good to contact you or your dad on if anybody feels like, well, you know, I want to directly help Maddie?
That's so kind of you to ask. I have a blog, actually, and there's a way to message me on there with any comments or even prayer requests. I would love to hear from you, just anything.
Okay.
But yes, anyway, that's the way that you can contact me best is my blog. It's sendme.blog, sendme.blog. And you can go on there and contact me directly. Or also JJ on
okay, you
JJ
can
Jasper
those
official.
Of you listening know who JJ Jasper is. He's been on AFR since it started, and so you can contact and we'll get that information. But Maddie, one more thing that I want to say. After you get through, we want to go to a third interview, and we'll see how that happens.
Yes,
and after
sir.
You've been there close to a year or a year, we'll find out how it's going.
Absolutely. I already look forward to it. Thank you so much.
Again, thank you, Maddie, for being with us. And in 2025, we're going to introduce you to some new individuals that are on Mission for God. But we're also going to check in with some friends we've met before, like Maddie. Nathan, getting reports about missions, that's straight out of the Word of God, isn't it?
Yeah, we see that modeled over and over in the New Testament. We see it with Jesus, actually, as he would send out the 12 and then the later the 70. In Luke chapter 10, he debriefs with his apostles, with the disciples. And so Jesus did this and modeled that for them as the apostles were sent out. And you see it really specifically with Paul as he would go out from the church at Antioch. There's a verse here, a couple of verses in Acts chapter 14, where it talks about Paul coming back from his first missionary journey, as we know it. And in Acts 14, verse 26, it says, "From there, they sailed back to Antioch, where they had been entrusted to the grace of God for the work they had completed." So in other words, this is where their journey started, and they came back to it. Verse 27, "After they arrived and gathered the church together, they reported everything God had done with them, that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles." So Paul carries that same model, and it's a good example for mission workers of any kind and stripe today that we take some time to return and rest, but we also should report of what God is doing where he has sent us to.
When I hear you say that and read those scriptures, there are two things that come across my mind in discipleship that are so important in anybody's life, and that's encouragement and accountability. And here, when they give these reports, it's encouragement, hopefully to them, that we're interested in their what they're doing, but also yes, accountability for them to give a response for what they're doing. So that's not just true for missionaries, quote, that are out there on the field. It's true for all of us, no matter where we are, isn't it, Nathan?
That's right. We need to have the support of the church, of the community of faith, of our faith family, the body of Christ coming around each other, supporting, encouraging, challenging where that's needed, but providing the help for the work that God has put in front of us, that we're all a part of that work. And that work includes reporting, but it also includes that support and encouragement.
So that's what we're wanting to do in 2025, is we want to encourage you, and we're also going to challenge you ever so often with accountability and ask you, are you on mission for God? Are you doing all that God has called you to do? And when we ask that of you, hey, Nathan, we're kind of asking that of ourselves as well, aren't we?
Amen. That's right.
We are. So we want to thank you for listening to Exploring Missions. We want you to know that you encourage us when we hear from you. So thank you for listening, and stay on mission for God as we carry out God's great commission.